This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
My first guest is a BAFTA and Emmy-winning and Oscar-nominated documentary producer whose films from Gaza include For Sama and the controversial and celebrated Gaza Doctors Under Attack, which was commissioned, then shelved by the BBC before being shown on Channel 4. Here's a short clip from that.
A group of Palestinian emergency workers and medics are on a rescue mission, their ambulances clearly marked with lights flashing. Israeli soldiers open fire and start to kill the rescue workers. They said the convoy was suspicious because its lights were off. But when 15 bodies were exhumed from a mass grave, this video from the phone of one of the dead medics exposed the Israeli version of events as untrue.
Now, that was an excerpt from the documentary. Ben DePere, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we want to talk about how war crimes are being normalised, that this is the age of impunity. Why do you think this is so?
Well, I think what's happening in Lebanon now is a smaller scale repeat of what happened in Gaza. But I think it's followed a war started with Iran, and the reporting on this war has been obsessively about the Gulf states that were hit at the beginning, and the price of oil going up. And secondary to that is the death of civilians, including children, the striking of infrastructure, including hospitals, all of which are war crimes. And people say they could be war crimes. But if you strike a hospital, you have to have a very good reason to do it. And if you blow up civilian infrastructure, including bridges and power facilities, you also have to have a military reason to do so. And nobody seems to be examining this in great depth.
Now, in the early days of the war in Gaza, we know that the Israelis would target hospitals, and then they would say, well, these were being used deliberately by Hamas on the basis that they could not be targeted, and that was their justification for absolutely doing so.
Well, if you watch our documentary, and I'm very pleased to say that RTE ran the documentary, and I believe you can still see it there. If not, you can see it on Channel 4's player on all four. We examined the attacks on 36 hospitals in Gaza and many other smaller clinics, and the killing of 1,700 medics, as it was up to that point when we broadcast it last year. It's now about 1,800 medics. The arrest, detention, and torture of hundreds of other medics, and we found very little evidence, if any, that Hamas were operating in or near any of the hospitals that were hit. And instead, what we found a pattern. By the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli army, which was examined by the United Nations and other human rights bodies, where the hospitals were bombed and then evacuation orders given, and then forcibly patients and doctors were removed. And in the process of doing so, hospital staff were detained and often taken off into Israel where they were tortured. And it was a systematic attack on the whole health system. And with the excuse given that the Hamas were underneath hospitals, that their main contention was that the Hamas had a big military headquarters underneath Al-Shifa, which is the main big hospital in the center of Gaza. When the Israelis went there themselves with the press, there was absolutely no evidence that there was a big military bunker underneath the hospital. And in none of the other hospitals have they shown that there are any military facilities used by Hamas. And none of the Western doctors who've been in there or any of the Palestinian doctors say there's any Hamas underneath. I'm not saying, by the way, that that couldn't be possible, but the evidence is not there yet.
At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits, so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Now, the question of how the Israelis and more recently the Americans, I mean, whatever you, when you talk about rogue states, for example, they will do things that the world will condemn. But when you get so-called civilized nations acting with impunity, we saw what the Americans did in Iran in that early strike on the girls' elementary school. We've seen what has been done in the meantime by the Israelis in Lebanon most recently, where they seem to be determined on annexation and ethnic cleansing in the southern part of Lebanon, the northern border with Israel. Why do you think they're able to do this now? What has changed in the public discourse that allows this kind of thing to go unchecked?
Well, you say so-called civilized nations. I mean, America, with Britain's help, invaded Iraq, in which hundreds of thousands of civilians were then killed. It basically ran a war in Afghanistan, which may have had just cause because of 9/11 at the start, but ended up killing also tens of thousands of civilians. I think there's a double thing going on here, that Trump has silenced the United Nations. The United Nations was largely ignored from 2003 with the invasion of Iraq. And international law has been almost abandoned, in that people don't think you need to follow it. People don't understand it, and it's barely reported. So in much of the reporting around that I've seen in Britain, there are obviously some exceptions. When you hit a hospital, it's a war crime. When you hit a guard, it's a war crime, potentially. I don't hear those phrases used much on the television anymore. And when our own Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, who was actually a human rights lawyer, who used to deal with some of these cases, is pressed in Parliament, he says, "We are abiding by international law." There's absolutely no proof there that any of these wars or any of these actions are happening under international law. I think we've become used to hospitals being bombed, schools being struck, and I'm afraid that Gaza was dead for how many children and women you can kill, how much civilian infrastructure you can damage without the world doing anything. And it's a terrible indictment of the world as it is at the moment, that the international courts in The Hague are not being able to pursue cases with the speed and dexterity which they did in the past. And instead, we're passing from one war full of war crimes to another.
There are a couple of things about reporting of the war. I mean, for people to get outraged, they have to see images of the war. And you were critical of the BBC, in a sense, sanitizing the war, not showing the dead bodies of children on the basis of public taste rather than reporting the facts of war.
Look, I think, to be honest, the BBC is a big organisation. There are some superb reporters there, and they do show some of the reality of war. They didn't show our documentary. They've never explained why. They've given several different reasons, all of which are basically rubbish. They commissioned our documentary into the destruction of the Gazan Health Service, and then once it was ready to run and they had approved it and they told us it was brilliant, they then backed away from it and in the end abandoned it totally and said they couldn't run it, and then sought to blame us. And it ran on Channel 4. But I think really what I find happens, a default position on their bulletins, and this isn't always the case. There is superb reporting, but a default position was what's happened in Israel, what's happened in the Gulf states where there are Brits and Westerners living, and then what's happened in Iran. And that's partly because you can't report from Iran directly, but there are plenty of pictures coming out of Iran, and there's plenty of evidence from the US military and the Israeli military, who are boasting about how much they're bombing Iran, that lots of civilians must be dying there. And then finally, I think there has been some very strong reporting out of Lebanon. But I think Lebanon, given that you can get there, should always be the lead story. It's where the most amount of civilians are dying that you can actually report on in the region, and where there is wanton destruction of a whole nation because of the presence of Hezbollah within it. And I think Israel's unboundaried behavior there, and the bombing of, especially of medical facilities, and one they killed 11 medics, is going almost uncommented on.
Now, there are two elements to this which I think are worth exploring. One is a fundamental racism that might be involved here. And you see it with the Israelis, for example. In order to free, say, a dozen Israelis, they will trade 1,000 Palestinians or more. And this seems to me to show how little value they place on the life of a Palestinian versus on the life of an Israeli, which may inform a lot of the thinking in that area, certainly by the Netanyahu government. And the second thing is whether or not Israel is being allowed by the rest of the world to hide under the cloak of the Holocaust, where, you know, Jews globally, well, particularly in Europe, suffered incredible privation and death and all of that, and robbery and theft and basically destruction of family life at the hands of Europeans. And Europeans have this collective guilt, even though Ireland had no part in it and Britain's part was honourable in liberating the concentration camps and so on. But is there that cloak of the Holocaust being used by Europe not to condemn Israel?
Definitely. Of course, the Holocaust is the worst genocide in recorded history, but it frames everything that Israel does. Israel claims that it's defending itself against other possible genocides and of course, the October 7th attacks were horrible and disgusting and must have been very frightening. But in order to prevent other attacks like that, their response has become revenge. And they've killed 5,000 people in Gaza, including 20,000 children. And all respected human rights bodies believe that this is a genocide being carried out. And I think that they are being ruled by people who are fascistic in their language and in the nature of their decisions, and that they will wake up from this terrible passage of their history and wonder, why on earth did we do this? Mm. Of course, they have the right to defend themselves. Well, they exist as a nation, but what they're doing is I think, damning themselves for decades to come.
Ben, the line is breaking up pretty consistently throughout our conversation, so we'll have to leave it there. Ben Depere, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.